I'm Josh Liston from On The Bubble Podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Today on the Digital Soup Podcast, the guys discuss the new Segway skates. Is Spotify becoming more than a music provider? Is MoviePass making good decisions? And when will George R.R. Martin stop making Dave angry? All this and more on today's episode of Digital Soup.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, welcome to Digital Soup, the only podcast that realizes it is all over the second we ride up Troy's bucket.
Exactly.
Andy, you goonie!
It's all over, man. Down here, it's our time, guys. It's man, our time.
Who says wishes don't come true?
I'm taking them back. I'm taking them all back.
He never notices that he's supposed to have a person on the end of the bucket, and there's like slack in the rope as he's pulling it up.
That was a very heavy coat, okay?
Yeah, it did have his name on there.
You know, we should transition this into the Goonies podcast. We could talk about that movie forever.
Oh, Sloth Love Chunk.
Yes. Yep. And Baby Ruth.
It's different from Sloth Chunk Love.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what that
All right. Well, on that note, my name is Jason. Boy. And joining me in the virtual studio today is Adam and usually Dave. How's it going, gentlemen?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
That's how good it's going.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to do a destination, maybe a little up the road.
Well, you know.
Turntables
and a microphone? All right. Well, we got a big show here, guys. So why don't we just jump right into this here?
And a lot of wrestling references.
Wrestling?
Yeah. Big show? Oh, never mind.
Well,
a big show. Let's take it easy there, Turbo. Take it easy, because before we start the show...
Only my wife can call me that, dude.
All right, Tiger, easy. So...
Only my dad can call me that, dude.
Only the Frosted Flakes guy can call me that.
Okay, Tony, easy, easy, easy. No, before we start the show and we jump into yet another great episode, we just want to remind you guys that if you love what you hear each and every week here at the Digital Soup... Do us a favor. It would really help us out if you could head over to Apple Podcast, hit that subscribe button, and also take a second, leave us a quick review, let us know what you think of the show. Not only does it help more people find Digital Soup, but hey, makes us feel good, right? And we do really appreciate that. So guys, what do we have up first this week?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Yes.
Segway, which is what I like to do between segments, has actually announced a plan for the Drift W1. So we're talking hoverboards, powered skateboards, and all kinds of crazy stuff that are in fashion right now. So why not strap some robot tech to your feet with the Segway's new e-skates?
Yeah.
Do you guys watch e-scape these? With e-skates. You know what I mean? So Segway skates. Why not? Why not stop using all muscles in your legs and then atrophy? Let's get machines to do everything for us. I'm going to get the all new Segway e-spoon so I don't have to eat.
Hey, digital soup branded.
Mm. Hey, now you're trashing on these bad boys, but it does look
fun. No, they look really fun.
They look terrifying. Actually,
to maintain your balance, yeah, you'd have to be using your muscles anyway. I'm just joking. But. Yeah.
And it looks like I never got on that hoverboard thing because that as a 47-year-old man, that scares the living bejesus.
You'd probably break
me.
Your hip there.
I would break everything, man. But with these, I mean, it's more like skates. I mean, it just seems like it'd be more sturdy, especially for a hefty older man like me.
Yeah?
Well, I watched my cousin. I won't name his name, but he's older than me.
Frank.
He's probably about
Earl.
44, 45, something like that. I forget how old he is exactly, but his kids got some of these. A couple of his kids got these hoverboards. you know, that you stand on and you just lean and tilt, and that's how it does it, just like these Segway skates, basically. Mm-hmm. And he did a Facebook Live video a few weekends ago where they were just all out hanging out in a small town he's at. The street was kind of no cars around, so they were all out on the street, kids all over playing. And
was he born in a small town?
Yeah, yep. He
You're
actually
probably gonna
was.
Die in that small town too. Probably.
He might, but he tried to get on this thing a couple times on these hoverboards, and he could not get it. And I don't blame I couldn't either. I'm sure.
Oh, I wouldn't be able to. Yeah,
it was hilarious watching because I was just waiting for him to bite it hard, like onto the pavement. But the kids jump on him. You know, well, not to see. I didn't want to see him get hurt, but I was like, oh man, don't do it, don't do it. But they're kids, they just jump on them and they're cruising all over like it's no one's business. I thought, how in the world?
Why in the world? Yeah, let's talk about the word hoverboards.
Yeah.
These don't hover.
No, they don't.
It's on wheels.
Complete contact to the ground.
Yeah, this is not Marty McFly.
False advertising.
Yeah.
Exactly. Real hoverboards don't work on water.
Right. Yeah,
unless you have power.
Yeah. Oh, man. So the Drift W1, this is the these are the new hover skates. What do they call them? Drift e-skates. E-skates is better than hover skates. You're not hovering over anything.
Yeah, because they're just electronic. Now, you know what else is pretty popular in this same space? You see them all the time in videos by guys like Casey Neistat and some of these other big YouTubers out in New York. And that is like the Boosted boards. And there's a couple other brands, but Boosted boards are the big brand where it's a skateboard. You stand on like regular with regular skateboard wheels, but it's got motors on them. And you've got a little controller in your hand that controls your speed, you know, up and down.
Yes,
and these guys cruise all over town on these things. Fast. They're doing 20 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour. I don't know how fast for sure, but they're moving. And so it's kind of along those same lines. The only thing with these is that there's no controller in your hand. It's all based on your leaning, you know, forward and backward and whatever you're doing there to move your directions. But they say they're self-balancing objects, though.
Hey, why don't they have them on one wheel, too, to make it a challenge?
In the middle, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they have a big fat tire on them, it looks like. I mean, pretty wide.
Like the
compared.
Beer?
No, not quite.
I thought you were going to say, like, Adam?
Fat tire, that's... who makes fat tire? That's...
As Belgium? Far as the drink?
Yeah.
New Belgium.
New Belgium. That's brewing. New Belgium fat tire. Thank you. Uh-huh. We're doing a, you know, promo read for a sponsor, a beer sponsor that we don't have.
Brought to you by New Belgium Fat Tire.
They don't know.
money.
Or the beer. They don't know it yet, but.
They're listening right now. You know what? I'm going to send them some money.
Those Digital Soup guys are all right.
Yeah. So this these new e-skates, what kind of sets them apart from other skates is that your feet aren't strapped in. You're just stepping on these things, which means you can bail off of them pretty quick, I suppose. Yeah. And I'm guessing they're just using kind of that same balancing technology they use with Segways. So this should be interesting. They're not for sale yet.
Nope.
And they don't have a release date or a price or anything like that. But yeah, why not?
Right. Oh, okay. I was going to say, top comment on the site, in the comments here on the article on The Verge, as cool as this technology is and everything else, the top comment says, why do big businesses always use mediocre stock music? There's a ton of well-made stock music available.
He's a stock music creator, probably.
Their biggest concern is that they used stock music.
Oh, this music's pretty bad.
Let's talk about the real issues, guys.
Yeah.
Man, it's going to send me into a rampage. Just getting so mad over this stuff.
Man, just angry.
Oh, man. I just want to hit like any kind of robot or maybe a droid.
What droid would you hit, though? Maybe like Data from the Next Generation?
No, maybe Anne.
You're going to hit Anne? Seriously?
The android. Rampage hits Android. Rampage hits Android. It's been a while. But we've got some hacking news. The Rampage attack seems to be hitting Android devices from 2012 forward and could potentially lead to more stolen information. Guys, this is not good. But there's always these crazy attacks going on. It's totes cray cray.
The good news is that both my wife and I switched from Android to iPhone again earlier in the year, so I don't have to worry about it.
I just saved 15% by switching to Geico.
Another company we're getting no money from.
But so I saw their ad literally pop up on this article.
All right, guys. We had the newscaster episode when you guys went all out on newscasters. Is this going to be the episode where we literally have a ton of fake sponsors on here?
I don't see why not.
We just plug a bunch of people. Yep. So exactly. What the Rampage attack is, I'm gonna give you two sections to this. First off, when
in
this
today's
article,
Best Buy breakdown, we're going to give you two sections.
Yeah, this article came out earlier, end of last week, middle of last week, I think it was. And I put this in here because we haven't had a tech story or a hacker story in a while. And it's a security vulnerability they found. They're calling it Rampage. And it's a type of what's called a Rowhammer attack, which basically goes in.
Is that what Thor has?
Kind of, except
that's only when he's boating.
Yeah, as I say, he only uses it on the lake. But it was discovered by a group of eight academics across different universities.
That's a lot of academics.
Yeah, and this was published June 28th, 2018, so late last week. And what it does, and this is based off an article on AndroidCentral.com, it says it breaks the most fundamental isolation between user applications and the operating system. So while the apps are typically not permitted to read data from other apps, this malicious program can craft a Rampage exploit to get administrative control and get a hold of secrets stored on the device. Not good. It could include everything from passwords, personal photos, emails, instant messages, business documents, all of that.
But wait, there's more.
There has been an update, which is good to know. Shortly after this news broke, this was updated the next day, Google had reached out.
And this update on the Rampage attack brought to you by the Whopper. Have it your way right away down at the BK.
So what happened?
Why Whopper when you can double Whopper?
At the BK Lounge. Anyways, so basically what happened, though, Google did reach out to Android Central.
I thought Joe Jackson died. Never mind.
Go ahead. I don't even know where you're going with that one.
Me neither.
But
fail.
Google reached out. They did update with the following statement. Says they have worked very closely with a team from the university that found this, one of the universities at least. And while the vulnerability isn't a practical concern for the overwhelming majority of users, we do appreciate any effort to protect them and advance the field of security research. Recognize the theoretical proof of concept from the researchers, but we are not aware of any exploit against Android devices. So
this was just theoretical that, hey, somebody could potentially do this. There's no actual threat at this point.
Yep, and that's what Google is saying. So the paper...
Sorry, Dave. Can you remind the listeners the name of the university that came out with this?
Yeah, sure can. It is the Verge Universität, which I made up. Because it looks like it's from Iceland or something. I don't know who it's from.
You sounded French. It's from Iceland, but sound French.
It is spelled Verge as Universite. Follows. Yeah, V-R-I-J-E space U-N-I-V-E-R-S-I-T-E-I-T.
Say that with an Icelandic accent.
Verge Universite.
Now, I think loosely translated, that translates to DeVry.
Yeah. DeVry Institute.
DeVrije Universiteit. Oh, DeVry? That's the closest I can come up with.
Right.
So Brought to you by DeVry University.
The important thing to know about this is that, you know, Google is acknowledging that there is a possibility for something like this to happen. The exploit is there. No one has targeted it, and I suspect that with the research out there, Google is working right now, I assume, to patch that up, make sure even the potential theoretical stuff that this university found can't happen. So it is going to, I'm sure Google will work to, you know, close that vulnerability. But the fact is, whether there's been an attack or not, they found the software to be vulnerable, which means if your Android phone was released during or after 2012, based on the software it runs, it could be impacted, but no need to panic because looks like there have been no actual attacks right now. It is just, again, a warning to keep tabs on the security on your phone.
Two best comments on this article in Android Central.
Yes.
I'm pregnant.
Savdini says, great. And then the other comment.
Just great.
It says, Michael Garand says, so they can tell that I submitted my expense spreadsheet, visited Pornhub, bought diapers on Amazon, visited Pornhub again, and paid my State Farm premium, all within the same 15 minutes. WTF, so much for privacy.
Yeah, I mean, most of these comments are angry.
Twice in 15 minutes to Pornhub, huh?
Yeah.
Must be a young lad.
Okay, this section's entirety. Let's just scratch that and leave it with a great.
Yeah.
Here's, I wish I could do this just in voice like Adam does, but this is what my thought was here, because this is all hypothetical.
Yep.
This is something that could have happened. It, they're scaring us like it did happen, but it didn't really happen.
Yep.
So it's just like, this just in, people can bust into your house and take your credit cards out of your wallet. You better put them in a safe place.
Somebody with a lock picking set could pick your freaking lock. Brought to you by Arby's. We have the meats.
I was going to say, this just in, the Rampage article brought to you by Apple. Switch to Apple phones now so you are nice and secure.
Save 10% by going to apple.com.
Is Spotify gearing up to become more, just a little bit more than a music provider? It dreamed about being more for a long time. Yeah.
They have always wanted to be a real boy.
Okay.
I just saw Shrek the Musical.
Oh, okay.
And
all right.
Pinocchio was on there. Sorry.
I'm a real boy. Yeah, but the way you said it was very strange.
So, yeah.
So by hiring a new chef, content officer. you didn't. You put in chief.
Okay.
With a background as television and video executive, Spotify may be starting to show their hand in terms of some pretty wide media ambitions. So tell me more. Brought to you by Microsoft.
Tell me more. Tell me more. Oh, what? Not Greece? No.
Are they becoming more than a provider of music?
Well, what's going on over here?
I wonder if you
here?
Could get the Grease soundtrack on Spotify. You probably could.
Yeah, I know you can. You can hear that.
Dave knows. I listen to it every
dude,
day
that
at
one,
lunch.
That's where what's he goes for Summer Lovin'.
Yeah, there's some good tunes on that.
Brought
soundtrack.
To you by McDonald's, where Dave eats every day.
The all-new freshly made quarter pounder with cheese. If you want a QPC, pass one to me. Am I right?
This is the adpocalypse, is what we're calling this episode.
Adpocalypse. I like it.
So what's going on with Spotify here? They hired a woman by the name of Dawn Ostroff, and she's a veteran when it comes to TV.
Dawn, that's a guy's name. Yeah.
And a dish soap.
Well, it's spelled like the dish soap, D-A-W-N.
But basically, will she get away clean?
No, it's spelled like the morning.
No, that's a good
yeah,
point.
That's true.
Fair
that's
point. True. Nothing to say there.
True that.
Ms. Ostroff, she was the president of Condé Nast Entertainment, the publisher
what?
Condé Nast, the video studio of there. Yeah, how bad am I saying that?
No,
it just sounded
kind of nast.
Oh no,
we're like 15 here, and it just sounded
kind of nasty.
I think I'm saying it right. Maybe I'm not.
You are kind of nast.
Yeah, here you guys are picking on me.
Did you see that video? It's kind of nast.
But she was part of the publisher's video studio. I'm just gonna keep going. That's how we gotta do it. She's going to be reporting to Daniel Ek, the chief executive at Spotify.
Ecknall.
And she will be responsible for content and editorial divisions, which means Spotify a long time ago said they would love to be in the market to expand their offerings beyond music, which, as we mentioned recently, I believe, they made podcasting one of their top priorities as of right now. So they are looking to spread into other areas as well, different from music and podcasts, which to me could mean that either they're going to take a run at Apple's iTunes, or maybe they're looking to bring in a chunk of that YouTube pie, whatever it might be. But Spotify could be bringing a lot of new stuff. They already do video, some video on Spotify, which you can find. And they've added a lot of other features to that if you've been paying attention to Spotify over the last couple of years, year and a half, 2 years. But apparently this job was vacant since January. They filled it now with a veteran television and video executive. So might see some exciting things coming from Spotify, making
maybe
it an all-in-one spot to get your media.
Maybe they're thinking about getting into audiobooks too. Brought to you by audible.com.
The funny thing is that every podcast, anyone that has sponsors on it, it seems like it's Audible, Casper mattresses, which I would love to have a Casper mattress.
Oh,
in my
I would
home.
Too.
That'd be awesome. And then what's the
you
other?
You get a 90-day free trial. Casper mattresses.
MeUndies. You heard that one? You ever heard of MeUndies?
I think I did. Yeah.
MeUndies, the most comfortable underwear made of a custom modal fabric that's ultra comfortable. So, anyways.
Just going to add on to the story because we were making fun of the name, but Condé Nast Inc. is an American mass media company founded in 1909, and it's got a lot of consumers, like 164 million. Yeah. And some of their brands and media include Allure, Architectural Digest, Ars Technica, Backchannel, mm-hmm. Bon Appetit, et cetera, Epicurious, Glamour, Golf Digest, which is huge, and Wired. Yeah. So a pretty big company, actually.
Yeah.
Massive.
Yeah, and she herself, Ms. Ostroff, has some of her background. She was a top executive at the CW and UPN networks, developing TV series like Gossip Girl, The Vampire
Diaries.
What
about the WB?
Yeah, not that so far. Okay. But,
well, that's we're brought to you by the WB.
You failed the city. Oh, that's the CW, not WB.
You failed this city.
So this next article on Showtime, which might be making a Halo TV series, is brought to you by HBO.
And Microsoft. Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, you didn't follow the right thing.
No.
Supposed to do the opposite.
Brought to you by PlayStation, sorry. Yeah,
the new HBO PlayStation by Konami.
So up, down, down, left, right, B.
So, there has never been a Halo movie that really came out, right? So
no,
now we're talking a Halo TV series. And Red versus Blue doesn't count, though.
Nope, not Red versus Blue. There is one I've got linked in here called Forward Unto Dawn, which I do recommend you look up. It used to be on Netflix.
Three sentences away, here's the movie.
Yeah, it used to be. I don't know where to find it now. It used to be on Netflix because I watched it there years ago, but it's not there anymore. It was a live action web series that was put into movie format, which basically was almost not quite a prequel, but it took place in the Halo world. It wasn't a full on here's Master Chief as your main character, but very cool, fun video or video game based movie.
What does the Forward Until Dawn mean? That's the.
It was based on Dawn. Is that the gal from Condé Nast?
Yeah, it's what Spotify said when they hired her. Like.
Forward unto dawn, this offer of employment.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Using the old term language.
I say,
brought to you by New Belgium Ale.
So fans of the Halo game series on the Xbox have something new to look forward to as Showtime looks to give Halo the premium cable treatment in an all new series, and I can't read well. With a movie that never happened in a failed digital series, will the third time be a charm for the Master Chef? I'm convinced to say Chief as Chef through the entire show.
Is it Gordon Ramsay?
Yeah, he's under that helmet.
Yes! Why would you bloody do this? As Master Chef in Halo.
Okay.
Wait, Dave?
Oh yeah, I'm here. I just was taking my allergy medicine, guys. It's no
classic.
Big deal. No, anyways, Showtime, this Halo series, it looks fun to me because the premise of the game really does have a lot of potential, I think, for a series. Like, think of like a hardcore Game of Thrones style where they can let loose with the violence. I mean, granted, Halo's not quite as violent and, you know, there's not the sex and all that stuff in there. But it could be very cool because
but there could be.
Well, we don't know that. What kind of relationship is there between Cortana and Master Chief?
Oh, boy.
Seemed to be some history there.
Could be.
Hey, Adam. Yeah. Say something about Cortana and Master Chief as Conan O'Brien.
You know I can't do a Conan O'Brien thing.
You did it last time. It was perfect.
Master Chief, everybody.
You know,
you know what I'm saying? Master Chief and Cortana.
I have to update that. If you haven't seen the video, go into our Super Reviews episode for the Prestige on our article that we have posted on digitalsouppodcast.com. And we've got to listen to the episode. We had a fun conversation about the Prestige, of course, and a review of that. But there was a funny story that came up about Conan O'Brien, Rebecca Romaine Stamos, and some great stuff there.
John Stamos?
Where's John Stamos? Did you watch it yet, Jason?
Oh, yeah, I watched it that night.
Yeah, and it's a classic Conan O'Brien moment. Mm-hmm. And we were struggling at him remembering the game, and we thought it was a toothpick passing a lifesaver, and then we saw you had corrected it in the episode last week on the Super Reviews episode where they were passing a piece of paper back and forth, mouth to mouth. The name of that game is called Suck and Blow.
Oh.
Oh, she has gone from suck to blow.
And I just had to add that as
a great name.
Because that's literally what you're doing is one person is sucking the piece of paper up, holding it in place till they pass it off, and then they blow a little bit and push it to the other person's mouth and take it. And so that is the name of that game. So those of you looking that are single, looking for a, you know, new party game to maybe make a move on that person that you got your eye on, ask them to play a little game of Suck and Blow and then record it and tell us how awesome that goes for you.
I don't endorse the Suck and Blow game.
If you get punched, it's bonus points. Jason will send you a Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
Okay, not real.
Oh, tell me more about everything.
More about everything.
Tell me more.
Well, you see, did she put up a fight?
Wait a minute. What kind of?
Why are we always hitting Ann?
Oh no,
not good.
Halo TV. Let's wait and see before we poop on it.
We'll see what happens. We'll keep an eye on that. What time is it?
It's time for a geek off.
I was waiting for more of the song. I thought there'd be more song.
Oh yeah, well, hold on a second.
Nice.
I'm doing it all wrong.
Well,
I don't know the song.
This week on the Geek Off, I wanted to bring something to you that my wife had shared with me through a message here, because she thought of our son. When she saw this, it was a meme going around on Facebook, I believe. And so
if today's Geek Off is figuring out who gets custody, I'm out.
Who was the father? No. Today on Maury, Jerry Springer. No, it was nothing like that. What it was.
None of these eight men are the father.
Let's bring your dad out. What? No. Anyways, what the meme was a simple question that they said will begin any geeky conversation, argument, whatever it is. And what they said simply is this: can a lightsaber cut through Captain America's shield? So I'm bringing that to you guys. Debate it, discuss it. And before you give me a well thought out answer, give me your gut reaction. Yes or no?
My gut reaction is no.
No? Adam? Gut reaction.
It was no, based on automatically knowing the properties of vibranium and how it redirects all energy.
Brought to you by Michelin.
Not only do we rate restaurants, we also have nice tires.
What?
Michelin rate? Haven't you ever heard of the Michelin rating?
Oh, yeah, that's a big deal.
Yep. Oh, no, I haven't.
Yeah, that's how they rate high-end restaurants.
They give.
So what was that restaurant guide that Adam Sandler and Chris Farley, they played the husband and wife on Saturday Night Live, and they were always.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, you guys don't go that deep in the.
No, I know what you're talking. Ravioli, holy cannoli. Yeah.
I just can't remember.
Zagat's.
Zagat's. Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. Like that. I had to Google. Brought to you by Zagat's. All right. No, so if the property, if you're taking both of these devices within their actual worlds, nerd alert, the vibranium shield should reject any and all energy. So that would include all the light and laserness of the lightsaber.
Yeah.
Here's my question, and I don't think anybody's ever posed this question before. Definitely not on our podcast, but I haven't heard anybody ever talk about this. What is the power source for a lightsaber?
Love.
But here's what I'm thinking. If you're trying to use it to cut through vibranium, you know, maybe if you could sustain it long enough, maybe you could. But a lightsaber is going to have to run out of power sooner or later, correct?
Depends how many AA batteries you put into it.
Oh, yeah, it uses AAAs.
Do they ever go into... I mean, I'm not a lightsaber geek. I don't know the lore of what powers them, but I know they've got a crystal, so that's great.
Is it rechargeable?
Yeah, it consists of a plasma blade powered by a kyber crystal.
Yeah, and there's a USB on the bottom. for charging.
C or just the standard?
Well, it's the older style mini USB.
Yeah, we got to orientate that correctly.
I know. Skywalker was down here just last night taking it back into the shop. Broke another one. It's like, stop being so rough with your crap. I put a lot of time into this stuff.
No, it's an interesting question because my gut reaction when I first saw it was, yes, it could. And then I was thinking about it some more. And I was like, well, Captain America's shield, he does, you know, basically use it to deflect these crazy blasts from, you know, alien races and, you know, all this different energy type stuff. I'm like, oh, maybe. Boy, I don't know. And then I started thinking about one of my as much as I love Star Wars, one of my biggest gripes about it is you've got a lightsaber, which they show just cutting through people, cutting hands off, anything like that, like butter. Mm-hmm. No resistance at all. Yet they, you know, are fighting and the blade rips across a wall and it doesn't rip a gash in the wall most of the time.
Oh, sure it does.
Sometimes it will, but it seems like there's a lot of times where it's like it hits metal, metal, and it's like they forgot to do the effect or something and it doesn't actually cut.
There is one scene in like episode 2 where one of the guys jumps onto the ship, you know, in the middle of the war scene and you can see his lightsaber bounce against the side.
Yeah.
No effect because they're just simply applying the effect.
After, yeah.
You know, as far as fantasy weapons go, it's something that cannot exist if it's actually truly a laser sword, of course, because lasers don't, light doesn't stop. In actuality, I mean, you get a really sturdy mirror or shiny stainless steel object, the lightsaber should refract off of it.
Cutting the blade in half, basically.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Now, his vibranium shield is not very shiny that I remember because it has the design on it. And everything.
But different properties, though.
What is shiny? Could a lightsaber go through Wolverine's adamantium claw things?
His what?
You think it could go through?
Try again.
Adamantium?
Yep. There you go.
Oh, I got it. Cool. Yeah. I'm not a geek. I just play one on TV. but do you think, because those are shiny, do you think that would just like refract the light all over the place?
Boy, it's hard to say, but it's brought to you by Chicago Cutlery. Find all of your great wares at chicagocutlery.com.
They're going to say by Windex.
If you're going to be cleaning your Wolverine blades, you want to use Windex. No streaky residue left behind, and only the light of the sun in your enemy's eyes.
Okay, now when this episode does go live, we have got to hashtag all these companies.
Oh, no.
Get some money.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine? Yeah. There's not enough characters on Twitter to hashtag.
Brought to you by Twitter, Google, Facebook, Yahoo.
So listeners, listeners, this will be your task. Every time you share and retweet this episode when we post it out, tag another one of these companies that we mentioned in here just for fun. Let's see what happens.
Every time we read off an ad or a fake ad, you take
that.
A drink.
Yeah.
I cannot believe I
You'll
was
be
just
loving this show by the end of it. You'll be like, this is the best podcast ever heard, bro.
And then make sure go to Apple Podcasts, hit subscribe, leave us a review, and tell your friends about it. No, like we said in the beginning, obviously we are not actually sponsored by anybody, but we're just having fun with the ads. Just another disclosure there. But your question about Wolverine made me think about something. So far, we're kind of thinking that the lightsaber against most of these superhero powers may not be as effective. So the question becomes, is there a comic book hero, something like that, that a lightsaber would be super effective against that you can think of?
Spider-Man.
Batman.
Would it, though?
Well, yeah.
Batman.
It cut Spider-Man right in half.
Yeah, but do you think that the Batman Jedi would get close enough to Spider-Man?
Oh, yeah. You just use the Force, stop his web, wrap his web around his
pulls
face.
Pulls him over.
That's true.
And then be like, you've chosen poorly, and that's dialogue from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
And then he would kill him with a lightsaber in the face.
Okay, so Spidey's a goner.
Face. Yep.
And so who was the other one you said?
I said Batman.
Oh, Batman, yeah. I kind of feel like Batman would have some kind of tricky technology up his sleeve to at least escape, maybe not win that first fight. In a second meeting, he'd have something he thought of. He'd have that light interrupting mirror.
He'd have a gadget that could tap into the Force for him. He would hack the Force.
Oh, Alfred,
He wouldn't best Alfred. Hawkeye, though, because Hawkeye would shoot an arrow into the on-off button on the saber.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go.
This could be. Who else? I hate to say this, like real hero. Like Superman, let's say. Could a lightsaber, if Superman just stood there and said, do your best, Skywalker, let Luke Skywalker wind up and just crack him with a lightsaber?
I think as long as there...
Would it cut Superman?
I don't think so. Either.
As long as there's not kryptonite in it, I think he's fine.
When Superman fought... Oh, man, this is a nerdy conversation.
I love it.
When Superman fought General Zod, I mean, they're using full-on Superman laser vision against each other. But got to think that the lightsaber can't be a lot more powerful than that.
That's the heat vision, Nolan. Is that just because it was the same heat vision that he has? Because obviously...
Operating a certain light frequency?
Yeah, because obviously Superman's own heat vision isn't burning his eye sockets as he's using it, so the same thing used against him won't burn him.
Yeah, but he could probably handle like a nuke.
What if it was Cyclops unleashing his optical, whatever they call it, his optical blast against Superman's heat vision?
That's a tough one.
Two different frequencies.
Either way, let's say Cyclops and Superman are both like laser visioning all over the place. There's going to be like 10,000 cats running around trying to catch all this little dots.
Okay, I was going to say I got the answer here for you for the whole Wolverine thing. Lightsabers are plasma loops contained within a force field, except the blade is actually the plasma, not just superheated air.
Yep.
So it's fully capable of slicing through just about anything, including adamantium.
According to which website? Nerdreview.org?
Quora.com.
It's perfect. Perfect.
Yahoo Answers.
Okay, this was a true geek off. This one almost was a nerd off.
Yeah. That's all right.
This was a spazoid off.
We needed something.
Spazoids.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Ritalin.
So bad.
If you got a child and he won't sit still, give him some
Ritalin.
We just came up with a jingle for Ritalin.
Oh, big pharma loves you.
Hashtag
guys.
Ritalin. We're gonna get some of that pharmaceutical money.
Big pharma, man. Brought to you by Big Pharma.
Jeez.
So, what's our next Marlboro story?
What? Well, our
brought
next
to you by Big Tobacco. Movie Pass.
This next story is going to make Chris Farrell cry.
I think you might already know
this
about
is what it.
It
sounds like when Chris Farrell cries. Brought to you by Prince.
What is happening to our show?
I don't know.
Again, listeners, please be taking a shot for every time we say something dumb.
All right, so MoviePass, they're trying a financial Hail Mary to just keep themselves afloat.
Mm-hmm.
From what this article is telling us, that MoviePass has been bleeding money, and there's no guarantee that the growing subscriber base or even the investors that they've gotten recently is going to even keep it going. In turn, this is leading them to consider more drastic measures. Now, MoviePass's parent company, Helios and Matheson Analytics, and not what was the analytics for that bought all that information
Cambridge.
For Facebook? Yes, not that one. They filed a statement with the SEC, which is, Adam?
Southeast Charlie Horse.
It's a Security and Exchange Commission.
Okay, it takes the banker. There you go.
I think that's what it is.
All right. Now, they're going to sell as much as $1.2 billion in equity and debt securities over the next 3 years.
Super erotic Chipotle.
Brought to you by Chipotle.
I'll pay $2.50 for more guac.
Mr. Adam, where would you like that guac placed?
Oh, boy.
On my burrito.
Enough of this funny business, huh? Just give me my burrito.
I'm sorry. I got a segue, though. There was this great skit where... who's the guy that plays Hawkeye? Jeremy Renner?
Yep.
Brendan Fraser. That would have been awesome. Recasting.
He's a good actor. So he's on Jimmy Fallon, and he sings about he sings a song to the tune of what's that Ed Sheeran tune?
Baby, I couldn't be loving you. We're 70.
But it's he's singing as Hawkeye, and he's singing about how he doesn't have any powers, but he's still just as good. And one of his powers...
I think I did see that.
One of it, we should link it up because it's hilarious. One of his powers is that when he goes to Chipotle, he gets free guac. So,
it all comes around full circle.
We're making
here.
The connection here.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, back to the story.
Here. Yeah. Back to the story. Now, it's looking bad here for MoviePass. NASDAQ is threatening to delist them. I don't even know if this is correct or not, but this is off of Engadget. It is 26 cents a share.
What? Penny stocks.
Is that, am I reading that correctly?
That's what it looks like.
As the stock price has plummeted from nearly $39 per share to just 26 cents as of this writing.
Well, right. I'm going to Google their... they're at 22 cents now.
Oh my God.
And dropping.
Well, let's be honest.
This company's gone, man. This company is completely gone. Unless we buy 1,000 shares right now and all of a sudden tomorrow they're like, boom, $500 a share.
Yeah, wait, right.
Their 52-week high, their high was a spike. That was a complete spike.
Yep.
Back in 2017.
I bet you that came around the time when they really, I mean, I remember we talked about them here as this thing, you know, hey, check out this movie thing. Because I know we had listeners, I had listeners at least sending me messages asking what more I knew about it, if it worked at theaters here, all this kind of stuff, how it worked. And it seemed like MoviePass made a big push then and really got out into the public. And then they announced a couple other things where they let existing subscribers to MoviePass invite other friends where you could try it for a month or something like that. I mean, all this different stuff. But everyone was looking at this from the start saying, this company cannot sustain itself. And so I think most people, if they are smart, I know I've heard Chris talk about this before, Anthony from All Things Good and Nerdy as well, they both use MoviePass. And they said they know it's not going to last forever, but they're happy to take advantage of it while it's here, you know, sure, kind of a thing. And I know one of the other things they've done is that MoviePass has just introduced on brand new movies. So, you know, opening weekend for, say, Ant-Man and Wasp, if you want to go see certain movies on opening weekends or certain time slots, you now have to pay $2 a ticket for it. Jeez. On top of your MoviePass price, just because they're trying to find a way to make it work. But I don't know how anything like this could actually work to make enough money. I mean, it's a losing...
Let me ask a bigger question. Do you think theaters are... I mean, with movies starting to get released directly to streaming, is the future of theaters in jeopardy? Because I do not like going to theaters at this point. I like a big screen and great sound system, but if I can bring that experience home and not pay all the prices and sit with all the people that are making noise and stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
I get just, that. He likes
watching them in his pajamas.
What are they doing in my pajamas?
I don't think theaters are fully going away, because I think there's enough of a market where these big blockbuster movies, you know, Infinity War, Deadpool, all of those kind of movies, people do still want to see these big event type movies on that big screen, because it's an experience. You're going with your friends, you're doing, you know, maybe going out to dinner, the whole nine yards. And so many of the theaters now are going kind of the deluxe VIP model, where they've got these super comfortable recliners. You can get beer and pizza and those whatever you want. Nice, yeah. You know, those kinds of theaters.
We have one. It's called Tinseltown, and I love the recliners. Yeah. I almost fall asleep in them every time.
We don't have anything.
I've got a recliner at home.
Yeah. But I think it's just an experience where you're going to see those big movies. Mm-hmm. I think what we will see is more and more, like we've talked about before, the good, fun B movies, you know, that used to be considered a B movie back in the 80s and 90s. I think you're just going to see less and less of those hitting theaters. You're going to just see theaters where they start to shrink and they have, you know, 4 to 6 screens of the couple of huge blockbusters that are out every single month and let people go to those, and that'll be it. And the rest of it will go to some sort of home, you know, purchase option or whatever it is. That'll be a sad day. I think it's a ways down the road, but
okay. Sure. Well, here, hitting back on the story here, let's just take a look at the way this package works. Now, to you guys, what, because I've been going to matinees with my kids, you know, when we go, so it's about $6 or so. What is the average price for a non-matinee ticket?
Depends on your market.
$10-$12.
Okay. That's what I was going to say. Around $10, $10-$12. Okay. Say it's $10, right? Movie Pass is $9.95 a month, allows you to watch 4 movies. How in the blazing hell does anybody make money on this?
Well, the theaters make their money because Movie Pass pays them for every ticket. It's just like a debit card.
Then let's just say, how does Movie Pass make any money, since they are paying for them to go to the movie 3 times?
That is why they're bleeding cash.
That is why they're trying to raise $1.2 billion in capital.
Yeah, their hope, I think, with their service was that people would subscribe to it. They would go see maybe one movie a month, and then be busy and forget about it.
But they still don't make any money then, because that one movie is their monthly fee.
Right, but they're breaking even, and they're I think what they were hoping, and it's a bad business decision if you ask me, but I think what they were hoping is that people would subscribe, just like we subscribe to all sorts of stuff these days, use it for a couple months and then forget about it for 6 months, and then, oh yeah, I got this thing, I can go see a movie with this, and just use it sporadically. Turns out people see it and are like, hey, this is great, let me go see everything I possibly can and use it to this full extent and see all kinds of movies, which is great because movies are getting seen, the movie studios are getting paid, theaters are getting paid, although they don't really make much off the ticket prices anyways, but MoviePass is the only one footing the bill for this, and that's why they are in serious, serious trouble.
And here's the thing. I don't know what MoviePass was even thinking, because anybody that would even want a subscription to go see movies is an avid movie goer. So they know how much they're spending every month on movies. So it's not like you have to undercut and hope that they aren't going to go, because people who buy MoviePass are going to movies. They're going to do it. You know, no person that goes to see one movie every 6 months is going to subscribe to this. So why did they not say $30 a month? Because the average movie person would say, hey, I'm paying for three movies and I'm getting one free. That is an awesome deal for me. I'm going to get one free. It could have been $30 a month. And then say they're busy this month, and like Dave said, they only saw one movie. So now, instead of breaking even, you know, on three movies, they've made money on two movies because they didn't use it.
Right.
That's the type of thing they should have done.
Yeah, they're just kind of counting on, well, maybe not everybody's going to go all the time. Then everybody's using it because interesting. Well, they're trying to raise $1.2 billion in capital. And so what they filed what's called a shelf registration to allow it to raise more money to help keep MoviePass afloat. Now, I am not familiar with what that is. I don't know, Dave, if you are, but
Vaguely, but I'll be honest, I don't want to start getting into too much of that because I don't want it to be construed as us giving financial advice and all of that, because it gets pretty complicated when you start dealing with all that.
I'm just curious what that means. Like, they have to register in order to raise money, but basically,
yeah, it's, they call it what,
shelf life?
No, half life. No.
It just says shelf registration in the article on Business Insider. So I was just curious. I don't know what that is. I'm going to look it up right now. Okay, shelf registration or shelf offering is a type of public offering where certain issuers are allowed to offer and sell securities to the public without a separate prospectus for each act of offering and without the issue of further prospectus.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Wikipedia.com. .org.
I mean, it's basically allowing them to make these offerings at will and not have to refile every single time, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So they don't have to go through the Paperwork Act every single time if they get approved for this shelf registration, let's say. Sure.
But even then, what are they going to do with this?
Yeah.
You know, if they're going to continue using the current business model, they're going to run out again.
Oh, yeah.
But then again, this is just an outsider looking at articles guessing.
Right.
That's me.
Well, Jason from the Digital Zoo podcast does say, give a pass to MoviePass.
So this next article is brought to you by MoviePass.com. And
it's funny because it's about books. Skip the movies. Read a good book this summer.
I'll pass on the movies. Now, seeing this article in our show notes, it made me go, oh, man, Dave's going to get ticked. George R.R. Martin suggests books to read this summer.
Yeah.
And the problem is that his next book's not on the list.
Right. And so what I want to do, because one of the big things, I mean, we're a geek show, you know, tech show. We talk about all this stuff.
What?
One thing we don't talk about a ton, even though we'll talk about comics and stuff a little bit, is we don't talk about too much of the great fantasy and sci-fi books out there, any of that. Now, Mr. Rest and Relaxation from Writing Books Martin has come out in an article here and put out a list of his top fantasy recommendations for Game of Thrones fans and then favorite books regardless of genre. It's a list of 9 books because one book appears on both lists. So for fantasy fans, I'll just blast through this. They should be no surprise to any geeks out there. Most of you have probably read a lot of them already, but if not, get on it. Lord of the Rings by Tolkien. Watership Down by Richard Adams. Jason, you're familiar with that one, I think, right?
Well, yeah, and I also saw the cartoon, which is very disturbing.
That's the rabbit one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, the bloody rabbits.
Yeah, that's a how is that a fantasy book?
Well, I don't know
because rabbits don't actually talk or have war.
Perfect answer. Okay. Perfect answer.
Answered.
Also on there, The Once and Future King by T.H. White, Lord of the Light. Or Lord of Light, excuse me, by Roger Zelazny. I have not read that one. And then A Wizard of Earthsea by Ursula K. Le Guin. That's a classic right there, too.
Like
so,
Queen Ursula.
Yep. So that is the fantasy recommendations. His favorite books, regardless of genre, are Lord of the Rings. Of course, that's the one appearing on both lists. The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald. Catch 22 by Joseph Heller. Tale of Two Cities by Dickens. Boring read, if you ask me. Prince of Tides by Pat Conroy. Gatsby and Catch 22 were good.
It was the worst of times.
Lord of the Rings, obviously a classic. I could care less about Tale of Two Cities. I've read it in school and didn't like it then and still don't like it when I've attempted to reread it now. But as you said, what is noticeably, glaringly absent from this list is his next book, The Winds of Winter, still not out. They're not even sure if it'll come out in 2019. George, quit writing lists for websites about your favorite books. Quit reading books. Just finish the dang book.
Top comment from Homer Brennan 1 on this article.
Yeah.
I suggest he finish one book this summer. The one we want, not some other crap.
Amen. I mean, not saying those books are crap. Some of those are very good books, but come on, man. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
So, you know, I'm just going to give him a little piece of advice here. If you guys could just let me do this for a second here.
Okay.
So, Mr. Martin, you are making Dave from the Digital Soup podcast very angry.
Super angry.
Not only will you not finish the book series that he wants to finish reading, but now you're doing all this other stuff like making lists. So, I've changed your name to George Rutlow Martin, because you're in trouble. You're in big trouble.
Not by
Dave
me.
Is coming for you.
No. I'm not making any threats. Let's make that clear. But I'm not
His
alone.
His last name
this.
Is Voorhees, if you need to know, Mr. Martin.
Dave Voorhees? What am I, Jason's distant cousin? I remember I had a cousin named Jason one time.
Dave Voorhees down from
No, I mean, I'm not alone in this. I think a lot of fans are starting to get to the point where we want to see the book series finished, but so many people are like, this thing just is, it's never coming out, and just almost giving up on it. Figure we'll watch the last season of the show that comes out next year here in 2019 and call it good, because I don't know that I want to even bother with it, even though I really want to know how the book finishes, because it's very different than the show at this point. So,
well, you know what's going to happen, don't you, Dave?
Yeah, he's going to die, and then no one
exactly. I was going to say it's Wheel of Time all over, and somebody else is going to have to finish that book.
But I will say this: the Wheel of Time was a little different situation where Robert Jordan knew that he was dying, and he went on a search and found, he handpicked an author that he felt could do the story justice, in Brandon Sanderson. And he went over the notes with them, said, here's where the story is going. Here's the ending. You fill in the blanks. I trust you to take the wheel on this one. And it's up to you now to bring this thing home. And Sanderson knocked it out of the park. He is a fantastic author and really did a great job, because he had notes and discussions, many discussions with Robert Jordan. Mm-hmm. Railroad Martin here, or whatever, Rutrow Martin, that's what you called him.
Rutrow
Martin. He's just going to, they're going to find him dead in a hotel room somewhere where he was writing a list for New York or 2 years from now, saying, here's some great books for next summer.
You know, the whole thing with the Wheel of Time guy, though, that reminds me a lot of when Journey got that Arnell Pineda. I mean,
he's a great singer.
Mm-hmm. He sounds, it's perfect.
Yeah.
So maybe, if... RR ever dies, they'll find an Arnell Pineda to finish the book.
Maybe they'll just call Arnell Pineda.
Yeah.
We don't know if he's an author, though.
Well,
how we are. Brought to you by who?
Brought to you by the band Journey. Journey's tour is coming to your town soon, except it's probably not. Are they touring?
I don't know.
Well, I just went to journeys.com. It's a dang shoe store. That's not what I wanted.
isn't that like a teen clothing store? I see it's in the mall.
Shoes.
Oh, yeah. Shoes. I that's right.
They're touring with Def Leppard right now.
Ooh, nice.
Really?
Yeah.
Unter Glieben Glauben Globen.
That is not any of the bands.
So, what we're going to do since
we... Isn't that the beginning of Pour Some Sugar on Me?
No.
Is it?
No, that...
I believe it is.
Did they use it again for... what's the other... Offspring?
Offspring used it for something.
Well, yeah, but I...
But that
I'm pulling up YouTube right now.
I don't think that was Pour Some Sugar on Me. I think it was a different song.
Definitely was not that.
As you're looking that up, I want to take just a minute, as we do each and every week, to remind you guys that we are part of a great network of shows called the Gunna Geek Podcast Network. You can find that over at gunnageek.com, where you'll find a host of all sorts of different shows for all different geeky tastes. This week, the one show we want to point out to you is a show called On the Bubble. And is it On the Bubble or On the Bubble Podcast? Either way, On the Bubble Podcast, what their show is about, it says true fans fight really hard for the TV shows they love most, and in doing so, create their own stories of loyalty, success, failure, and hope. On the Bubble Podcast and your host, Josh Liston, go inside the hearts and minds of television's most avid fans. Real fun show over there, so check that out at either onthebubblepodcast.com, their website, or head on over to gunnageek.com, where you'll find that show and a whole bunch more, including Digital Soup, to feed your geeky fueling taste. That made no sense. Anyways, what did you find?
Okay, what I found was... yes, it was indeed Def Leppard.
Yep, but it's not Pour Some Sugar.
It was not Pour Some Sugar. I mean, it was Rock of Ages.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And yeah. I even found out what it translates to. It's just 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Journey's I did have my band correct, though.
Journey's going to be at Minneapolis Target Field July 27th with Cheap Trick.
Woo. You guys get
is there anything
tickets?
In Ohio? Let's see here.
No,
I'm why, Columbus,
Ohio. Columbus, Ohio, August 22nd.
I am with not who? Getting tickets.
Let's see. It doesn't say. It just says them.
Just says them.
It just says Journey.
Solo tour. Well, that stinks for you, Jason.
Why?
I don't know. Because you can't get to see them with any other classic rock bands from your mid-20s.
The last band I went to, it had to have been the Bloodhound Gang. I seriously think that was the last concert I went to.
Was that before or after you and I went and saw Weird Al?
Yeah, that was before. Okay, so Weird Al might be my last. Unless you want to count the singing comedian. What was his name? I went and saw...
Stephen...
Yeah, not John Drew.
No.
Lynch. Stephen Lynch.
Yeah.
Would you consider him
He's puts on a concert probably, yeah.
Yeah, it was a concert. It was a comedy concert. But.
That stinks that you don't get to go to concerts. Really stinks. Yeah, I know.
That still was probably like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But you know what doesn't stink? Our weekly garnish. Give us some music there, Adam.
Oh, hold on.
Adam's preparation stinks.
Weekly garnish.
I love it. I love it. I love it. So
I don't think he does.
I do. I always look forward to seeing.
Hashtag I love it.
I always look forward to see what kind of music Adam's going to come up with for the garnish.
Oh, I'll do more next time.
Yeah, he's putting the bass down, and he's rocking some ivory, some
right.
boards. But
today's weekly garnish brought to you by Ivory Soap.
Might be needed, because unless you have one of these new handheld devices, the Ivory Soap will keep you free from body odor. But released over in Japan, there's a company called Tanita, if I have the name pronunciation correct, probably
and
wrong.
I got a Tanita, baby.
What this
it
is.
It checks if I'm stinking. I got my Tanita, baby. No longer have to do a fake dab.
Fake dab.
You dab to check your pits, dude.
Yeah, I get it.
And somebody's like, what are you doing? And you're not going to say, I'm checking my pits. I'm doing the latest dance craze.
Celebrating my touchdown, yo. No, this company has come out with what they're calling the ES-100. What this is, I thought it was just hilarious. It's just kind of funny, but basically...
Extrasensory 100?
I could be. What it is an electronic nose, and it's a little handheld device that you basically will move around, like, say, your neck or under your armpits, wherever else, and it uses technology that's very similar to the sensors they find in, like, breathalyzers and stuff. But it can basically tell when you've got high concentrations of sweat, unpleasant smell.
Oh, please tell me as you're moving it all across your body, it's like beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, I don't know.
You stink.
Yeah, I don't know how it looks. It looks like there's a meter there on the pictures in the article we've got linked over from Gizmodo. Basically, it looks like an old school pager, they say. And from the pictures, I'd agree with that. Part of it swings out, so it's got this little arm that you just wave under the part of your body you want to check, anywhere where your sweat glands are, you know.
Do I smell terrible?
Yeah, and it takes about 10 seconds. It'll give you your level of body odor on a scale of 1 to 10. 10 meaning your rank is all get out, and 1 being you're all right. So I guess it's available as of July 1st. You know, they don't have the pricing details on this one yet, but it looks like their other ones are typically in that $30 to $40 range, which I figured this one will come out to around that same price. So could be a fun gadget just to play around with. I don't know that I want to spend $40 on it to legitimately use it, but I just thought it was hilarious that that's where we're at now, is for $40, you get a little handheld robot that sniffs your armpits and says, oh, you are ripe.
It's the ripeness detector. Love it.
And brought to you by Degree.
Oh, that's awesome.
My secret, strong enough for a man, but made for a woman.
pH balance for a woman.
That's right.
As always, I want to direct the listeners over to the digitalsouppodcast.com. Not the digitalsouppodcast.com, just straight digitalsouppodcast.com.
Yeah.
This is the website where you can find all of our articles, links, social media links. Everything that we do is on this site. In fact, you can even listen to this show there. And of course, you can like and subscribe anywhere where you listen to podcasts. And we would love to talk to you more. So make sure you hit that subscribe button and hit us up on Twitter. See what's cracking. We'd love to talk to you some more. Now, I want you listeners to stick around. We've got a new band at the end of our show here for the Unsigned Spotlight, our dinner music. And today is the track is called Hasta Luego by Snatch the Snail, which is a Charlotte, North Carolina based experimental punk band that formed in 2012. They've actually released 8 full length albums to this date and have played dozens of shows around the East Coast. Snatchthesnail.com is their website. So stick around for that track. We hope you guys enjoy it. And as always, thank you so much from the Digital Soup Podcast, from all of us here to all of you. Have an awesome week. We'll catch you next time.
Take care, guys.
Later. Brought to you by Good Campbell's.
Gators.
Gators.
Gators.